Well, that's right. We are right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. And today, I'm very fortunate to have Representative Mike Pitts on the air with us here. He's calling us from down there in Columbia. It's Thursday, and they've got to wind up some stuff. But I thought it might be interesting just to find out how things are going. So I knew the person to call, Mike Pitts. How you doing today, Mike?
I am well. I hope you are.
Absolutely. We got the rain pouring down. Do you have rain down there in Columbia?
Yes. It is a tough morning getting started down here. Dropped my tie in the water in the parking lot and couldn't find my keys to get in the downpour. And I hope the day gets better and doesn't continue the way it started.
Well, yeah, I closed the car door on my umbrella, my umbrella, of course, didn't work. So. Just the way life goes sometimes.
I know what you mean.
But, we wanted to talk to you about some of the things going on down there. And, of course, one of the stories that's out there that keeps bubbling up is Speaker of the House Harrell and Attorney General Wilson and... What's going on with all this, Mike? Can you give us some light on it?
Well, I can give you some light. I can give you some generalities in some things, specifics in others. And some of it I can't talk about at all because I'm on the Ethics Committee.
Sure.
But as of this moment, the Ethics Committee has received no allegation against the Speaker of the House. So I am free to talk about the issue in general.
Okay. So what's going on?
Well, the Attorney General had filed charges on ethics and asked for a grand jury investigation. The grand jury and SLED did an investigation. SLED did an extremely lengthy and thorough investigation. Mark Keel, the director of SLED, a personal friend of mine, and I asked Mark once what was taking so long. He said, when we finish this investigation, I want no rock left unturned, no leaf left not looked under, because I don't want there to be any way that people can say this was not thoroughly vetted.
Well, so they are, so that's already gone, but they have finished the investigation or they haven't?
They did. They finished the investigation, and it was in court. Attorney General Wilson made his arguments to the judge, Casey Manning. Casey Manning then remitted basically gave an order that said the court had no reason to pursue at this point, and gave the Attorney General the option of either filing a complaint with the Ethics Committee or pursuing it in court. It's my understanding at this point that the Attorney General is choosing to appeal the judge's ruling to the state appellate court.
Wow, this sounds a little unusual.
It is. There are people out there that have called me calling for Bobby Harrell's head. And what I want to make very clear absolutely as clear as I can, is that I'm an old cop. If you put facts in front of me, I will investigate it. And I will make a blind decision based on that, blind being the scales of justice, trying to be fair. And we have no complaint in front of us. Now, the word allegation is what I'm talking about. There were allegations made against Bobby Harrell. You have civil allegations, which means that there are ethics issues that we can deal with. But it's not in the purview of the House Ethics Committee to deal with criminal. That's where it falls into the court system. And we've had no ethics investigation filed with us. With that said, everything I have said is based on allegations. And I know that our country has changed tremendously under the Obama administration, NSA, and Eric Holder. But as far as I know, we are still a country of laws and a constitution that says you are innocent until proven guilty. So with that in mind, think back to when Nikki Haley, as governor, had ethics violation complaints against her, and it was sent to the House Ethics Committee because those allegations occurred during her tenure as a House member instead of governor. And the House Ethics Committee investigated and then held a hearing on those allegations. Nikki Haley violated no law. So the Ethics Committee had no recourse but to show that and move it forward. And what she did was some technical violations in her reporting, and those were corrected, which is exactly how it's supposed to work. And you got to bear in mind that someone once told me politics is a blood sport. When you get to Columbia and you're looking at people that want to be governor, you're looking at people that want to be in those statewide constitutional offices, there become some bitter fights. What bothers me is that allegations of ethics violations has become a tool for those individuals and the puppet masters, the people that make a living off of political campaigns, have begun to use ethics violations or ethics allegations as a tool in campaigns and a tool to further their career by trying to denigrate other people. The best example I can give you of it, Ann, is in Alaska.
Okay.
And that was Sarah Palin when she was governor. When Sarah Palin was governor, there were well over 100 ethics allegations alleged against her. I think it was 136.
Okay.
She had to hire attorneys personally to fight those allegations. Not one, not a single one was founded. Yet it cost her well over $1 million in attorney's fee and forced her to resign as governor of Alaska so she could make money to pay those back. When she had the opportunity to go out and become a celebrity and had a revenue stream to pay those attorney's fees, that's why she left the governor's office. Most people don't know that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I didn't know that. So
it wasn't portrayed that way.
Yeah.
That was a tool. That's how the allegations of ethics can be used. And unfortunately, it's becoming a norm in the political process. And there's a mistrust of government anyway. I mistrust Washington.
Right.
100%. Well, not 100%. I trust my congressman 100%. He's a good friend of mine.
Jeff Duncan.
Jeff Duncan.
Correct.
I have complete trust in Jeff, and by design, he earned that trust. But people have a huge mistrust of government to begin with, so when they hear something negative, they bite off on it. What I'd like to say to people is remember, innocent until proven guilty, and remember that allegations do not necessarily mean that there was a violation.
Yeah, that is something actually we do seem to be forgetting in the court systems, in all court systems.
Well, yeah, Ann, to put it in a capsule down here, when Nikki Haley was the governor, was in the House, she was removed from a powerful committee by Bobby Harrell, then Speaker, and placed on a less powerful committee, created bad blood between those two. Then she went through ethics allegations and a public hearing and the brutality of the press in those regards. Now Bobby Harrell is under investigation for ethics allegations, and now Alan Wilson is, the attorney general that brought the charges against the speaker. And I would just tell people, don't bite into it too quickly. Let the process work and make sure that those allegations are true. And the ethics system works. Ford, Senator Ford, he proved that case. Allegations were brought. They were founded by the Senate Ethics Committee. He was forced to resign from the Senate. Now he's facing $45,000 in fines.
Yes.
So the system does work, but you want to be thorough and you want to make sure it's correct when you do.
Isn't there talk of separating, though, out the Ethics Committee from both the Senate and from the House? Didn't they want a separate committee that wasn't so involved with the House and the Senate?
They do. There are some people that want that, and the some people generally start with the executive branch. The executive branch already appoints the ethics commissioners in the state, the executive branch being the governor. But what's come to light recently is the fact that if a constitutional officer creates a violation, according to the attorneys from the State Ethics Commission, there is very little way to pursue that and to then prosecute it. So do you know what the end result would be if, say, the attorney general's had those criminal charges brought against him? Do you know who would actually bring them at this point?
Who?
Eric Holder in the
Holder.
U.S. Justice Department. The same people screaming for Bobby Harrell's head that hate the federal government would have Eric Holder and the U.S. Justice Department investigating South Carolina government. And I can't think of anything that Eric Holder would like to do better than to be able to start digging and disrupting the government of
South Carolina,
the reddest state in the nation.
Yeah. Wow. That's why you need to talk to people on the inside to at least get a feel for it, because what you read in the news and everything, it doesn't really give you the insight into the whole picture.
No, it's bullet points, and a lot of it coming out of Columbia's press is sensationalism. And the nuts and bolts of it are that their ethics allegations have been filed for political purpose. John Rainey, that brought the allegations against Governor Haley, was supporting Shaheen for governor. Does that ring a bell?
Yeah, it kind of does.
Well, and that's my point altogether. And you ask about separating by the Constitution. The House and Senate, the founding fathers of this country, the ones touted for doing a great job of setting it up, designed the House and Senate to have ethics committees to take care of the issues within those bodies. If I have a bad House member, it reflects poorly on me. So I'm going to be the worst critic of a bad House member. And I have found that to be the case down here. People won't see us the fox guarding the hen house, and I go right back to Senator Ford. The Ethics Committee worked in its process. And if you watch very closely on another case that will soon be resolved, you'll see the House Ethics Committee do the same thing.
Well, it is politics, and what you're telling us is it's really big politics down there, and it's kind of all underneath the water there.
Well, it's not all underneath the water, but it's certainly below the surface. It's people. It's people inside. If it were Washington, you would say inside the Beltway, but It's people that want to be in higher positions trying to take their opponents out any way they can. That's not going to always be true. There are going to be people that stumble and people that end up violating the law. But quite often, it's the reverse. It's just like I described about Sarah Palin when she was governor. Her enemies kept alleging ethics violations to the point that it forced her out of office, although not a single one, was founded.
Yeah. Well, that puts a lot of new light for me, at least, on what's going on, and we'll have to follow this and see how it all shakes out and where it goes from here.
And there's Alan Wilson and I had a conversation, Alan being the Attorney General, two years ago. He was wanting personal integrity unit under the Attorney General's office.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him that looked to me like it was to be a tool for political purposes. And we had a disagreement over it. And the basis for that is simple. We already have that unit inside SLED, the State Law Enforcement Division, that does those investigations. And they have done in the past very thorough jobs. Now, why would I want to take the investigative arm away from an agency whose total responsibility is investigations, criminal investigations, and give it to the prosecutor's office instead of the agency charged with investigations?
That's logical.
And so I never got a quality answer from the Attorney General on it. And I advised him to be cautious of trying to build a career in the wrong direction. I said, told him, you're a good man. You have all the tools. You have all the skills. Rely on doing a good job.
Well, I think that's one of the things. I mean, when we look at Washington and what's happening in the Attorney General's office there, I mean, it's just like we don't have any rules up there or any laws. It's just whatever we want to do at that time is the direction they're going.
That's exactly right. And they are ignoring
the laws.
They're not just ignoring ethics rules. They're ignoring absolute laws. And Obama totally disregards them, and so does Eric Holder. They disregard subpoenas and everything else.
Yeah, it is a different world, Mike, and I personally don't like it.
Well, I don't like what I see happening in Colombia with this trend toward trying to destroy other people by alleging things that are not founded, and using our laws as a tool to make allegations and hurt people publicly. And the reason I say that is it's getting tough enough to get people to want to serve on commissions and things that are high profile. And I had a group from the coast tell me, you guys need to raise your salary. I said, why do we need to raise our salary? He said, we can't find anybody to replace Andy Patrick down here. Nobody wants to run because of all the heartburn in Colombia and the fact that you don't make anything to do it. I state that point. We all know what salary is when we run for the position.
Sure.
So I'm not necessarily talking about that. What I am saying is the more poison that gets stirred into the system, the less a good person is going to want to subject themselves and most especially their family to being in an elected position. And when that happens, you're going to have nobody down here but people with self-interest.
And that will be a sorry day, Mike Pitts.
Well, that'll be a day when we finish off what's left of a great republic.
Wow, this has been an uplifting conversation this morning.
Well, there's a brighter side to it than the weather outside.
Okay.
There are a lot of good people down here. And, you know, if you ask me to candidly give you the names of the people that I thought were down here for the wrong reasons, it would be less than the fingers on your hands.
Well, that's encouraging. So where do we go from here, Mike Pitts?
Well, we just keep trying to move forward, and I got quoted in the paper today saying I didn't read newspapers because I didn't want them to corrupt my line of thought.
Is that a truism?
Pardon?
I said, is that true?
Yeah, well, it is. The reporter asked me. The reporter was trying to get me to comment on something I can't comment directly on, and that is whether or not the House is looking at the Harrell case. And as I said, until an allegation is sent to us, until a complaint is actually filed, it's not in our wheelhouse. So he was asking me questions, and I told him there were things I couldn't comment on by law. And he said, surely you have to have an opinion. You had to have been reading the newspapers. And I said, no, I don't read newspapers, and it's by design. You don't put accurate information. You don't quote directly. You take things out of context, and you put bullet points for sensationalism. So, no, I don't read newspapers, and it's by design. I do not want to corrupt my line of thought or the facts that may come to me on anything like this.
Yeah, that is the thing, isn't it, Mike? It is so hard to remain blind, shall we say, when we have so much information, whether it's on the internet, the TV, or in the newspapers. It does make it really, really tough.
That's exactly right. And if I'm asked to look at something on Ann Eller, I don't want it corrupted and an opinion preformed by something that was written in the newspaper. I just don't. Maybe that's good, maybe it's bad, but it's the way I operate.
Well, and you've been doing an excellent job doing it. You know, we wanted to talk about some of the other things. We got off on this. I think it was a great conversation, but we're going to have you back on to talk about, you've got the Protection Act you've been working on and some of these other things. Can we call you back and have you on another day?
I would love to, anytime that I can, Ann.
All right. Mike Pitts, Representative Mike Pitts, keep up the good fight. Thanks so much for calling us this morning.
Thank you, Ann.
All righty. Bye-bye.